Today we're going to learn Bechorot Daf Hey. We're going to start at the very top, Bishlama Rish Lakish. Just to review, yesterday we saw Rabbi Yochanan, there was a machloka, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan said, Kidshu Bechorot Bamidbar. Rish Lakish Amar, Lo Kidshu Bechorot Bamidbar. And we had different interpretations about how to read it. We ended with saying that what the machloket is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Bechorot were sanctified in the beginning of the time when they got into the Midbar. And they didn't stop, meaning they continued to be sanctified all throughout the time they were in the desert. And Rish Lakish said, in the beginning of the time of the desert, they were sanctified that one time when they said that the Bechorim were going to be replaced by they're going to do the Pidyon of all the Levi for a Bechor. But after that, there was no more Kedushat Bechor until they got into the land, based on the Pesukim in Shemot, which says that when you get to the land, then Kadesh li kol, then all the Bechorim are going to be sanctified. So now they say, okay, so Bishlam Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish actually makes a lot of sense. Kedamar Tama, like you said, based on the Pesukim that said when you get to the land. Ela the Rabbi Yochanan, my time. But what about Rabbi Yochanan? Why did he say it continued? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan chaza bechilma. Rabbi Yochanan appeared to me in a dream. De milta ma'aliyata amina. And he confirmed that what I was saying was accurate. And what my reason for giving my answer to what Rabbi Yochanan said is, Amar Kra, Li Yihiyu. This is from Bamidbar Gimel Yud Gimel. It says, this is exactly the Pesukim. When in Bamidbar, when they start saying, transferring the Leviim for the Bechorim. And it starts there in Pesuk Yubed. It says, "Ani enelakachti et haLeviim mitoch bnei Yisrael tacha ko bechor petarechem mibnei Yisrael v'hayu li haLeviim." And then it says, "Ki li ko bechor b'yom akuti ko bechor b'eretz Mitzrayim." All the bechorim basically belong to me. So what does he say? Li yu b'havayatan yehu, meaning it will be like that forever. It will always be the case. So now, what is left for Rabbi Yochanan to explain? What does he do with that pasuk that says that this is going to happen when you get to the land? So he's going to say, based on what Rabbi Yishmael says in the Braita, this is the mitzvah that's going to keep you. If you keep this mitzvah in the midbar, that will, because of that, you'll be zochet to go into the land. And that's his proof. That's what he does with that pasuk. Okay, now we're going to have a whole different, we'll see. It sounds like a whole different nusach, although in the end we're going to see this really the same thing. It's just an issue of semantics, how you say it. Amar le Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi. Atun hachi matnitana. Anan ipcha matnitana. This is how you teach it, but we learn it a different way. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and the exact opposite. Rabbi Yochanan Amar lo kidshu bechorot bamidbar. Until now, we said that according to Rabbi Yochanan, they were sanctified all throughout the desert. Rish Lakish said they weren't. In this version, Rabbi Yochanan says lo kidshu bechorot bamidbar. Rish Lakish Amar kidshu bechorot bamidbar. As Amar le, Rav Ashi says to Rav Mordechai, vafchitu nami tiyufta, vafchitu la laha de Rabbi Elazar. What, so you're going to, do you also have a version that all the questions we asked were flipped, and that it was he asked him instead of he asked him, and you also have it flipped what Rabbi Elazar said, that Rabbi Yochanan appeared to me in a dream and confirmed that what I said was true? How could you possibly say that? That was specifically about Rabbi Yochanan Shita. So Amalei, lo kadshe means lo hutzrichu li kadesh. Okay, they didn't need to be sanctified because they were already sanctified. So meaning that when Rabbi Yochanan, according to this version, says lo kidshu b'chorot b'midbar, he means they didn't need to be sanctified because they were already sanctified, which means he's saying the exact same thing of the earlier version. So then the Gemara questions and says, Ihachi, hainu didam. Well, then you're basically saying the exact same thing, right? And then they're basically saying the exact same thing. How could you say it was the opposite nusach? So what are the answer? Kamash malan, hayav adam lomar b'lashon rabo. The reason why he changed it was because he had to teach things the way his rabbi had taught him. And therefore, he wanted to say it in those words specifically, in that nosach, even though really there was no difference. It really meant the same thing. Sha'al kontrokus hasar, This is a Roman general, et Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Okay, he now asks him a big question on the story about the Levi'im. What did we say? There were 22,000 Levi'im, and they replaced the 22,000 Bechorim, right? There were 273 extra Levi'im, that there was no Bechor, extra Bechorim, that there was no Levi to replace them. So now he says, but there's another problem with the numbers that you didn't mention. Here comes this Roman officer, and he questions him. It says, "Bipratan shalivim." Now, there was one count that we were talking about that we saw yesterday, where it mentioned Aharon, and there were the dots on Aharon, and there it says there were 22,000 levim. But when it counts all the different families, Gershon, Kahan, and Merari, of the families of the levim, and it counts the total of each family, if you add them up, you actually get to 22,300, and not 22,000. So comes the Roman general, and he says, "Bipratan shalivim," in the detail count, Atamotse 22,300. Bichlalan, but when you see the general number, Atamotse 22,000. V'shloshmeot lehechan halachu. What happened to them? So Amarlo, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answers the Roman general, Otan 300 bechorot hayu. Ve'ein bechor mafkia bechor. They themselves were firstborn Levi'im, and therefore they couldn't replace the Bechorim of the Israel, because they themselves kind of had to be replaced from being a Bechor to being a Levi. Okay, in other words, they were always Levi'im, but they had to kind of do their own Pidyon, and therefore they couldn't be Poda anybody else. It's a bit of a question about this number, because out of 22,300, to say only 300 were Bechorim sounds like a very small number. It's basically, I guess, so the count was one in every 74, basically, would be a Bechor, which sounds kind of crazy, right? You would think there would be more Bechorim. Now, you could claim a lot of children died in childbirth, so maybe because of that, there were not a lot of Bechorim, because if your baby dies in childbirth, then the Bechor is no longer Peter Rechem, the one that's born and that survives. Could be that there were also, you have to exclude every time a female is born first. Anyway, we'll leave that as a question, but they claim there were only 300, and that's why. So now they say, my time. Oh, what's the reason why they can't redeem another Bechor? I'm Rabbi. Say, Yola Bechor, Sheafkia Kedushat Atzmo. Now, he had to replace his own Kedushat Bechor and kind of replace it with his own being a Levi. Ve'od Shalu, this contrast also asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Bigiboy Kesef. And we have the collection of the Machatzita Shekel. There's also a problem in the numbers. Atamutse matayim ve'achat kikar ve'achat esrei maneh. Okay, there's 201 kikar kesef and 11 manes. Okay, that's like a smaller amount. Okay, I'll talk a little bit about the ratio. So a maneh is 25 shkalim and a kikar is 60 maneh. Okay, so there were 201 kikarot, which is 201 times 60 maneh, basically, and another 11 maneh. Okay, how do we know this? Dichtiv beka lugugolet machzita shekel b'shekel hakodesh. Okay, everyone had to give a machzita shekel, and how many people were they? L'shesh meot elef u'shlosh alafim v'chamesh meot v'chamishim. There were 603,550 people. So if you divide that number into two, because each person gave a machatzita shekel, you end up with 301,775 shkalim. Okay? So now, if you take those 301,775 shkalim, and since a maneh is 25 shkalim, and a kikar is 60 maneh, so it comes out that a kikar is basically worth 1,500 shkalim. And if you take the number 301,500 and divide it by 1,500, by the amount of shkalim, you come up with 201. In other words, since the kikar is 1,500 shkalim, you want to know how many kikarot were in that 301,500 number. And you get to 201, okay? Plus, I took 301,500 because that's a number that divides evenly into 1,500. But really, the number was 301,775. So if you take the extra 275 and you divide that by 25, that's how many shkalim are in a maneh, you end up with 11. Okay, so that shows that there were 201 kikarot and 11 maneh left over, right? That's how much they collected in the machatzit ha-shekel. But when it says that they brought the kesef to the mishkan, benitinat ha-kesef, atam motzei ma'at kikar. It says 100 kikar, and we just said it should be 201 with 11 maneh. And this says 100 kikar. Where do we see this? Dichtiv, vayhi ma'at kikar kesef latzeket. This is a pasuk right, it's all from Shmot Lamed Chet. Okay, this is pasuk kafhe, it looks like. So it says v'kesef pkudei ha'edam me'at kikar ve'elef u'shva me'ot v'chamishim v'shiv'a shekel b'shekel ha'kodesh. Okay, it was 100 kikarot with 1,775 shkalim left over. Okay, that's how much they had. So that's about half of what it really should have been. So comes the Roman general and he says, Moshe Rabchem, ganav haya. Either he was a ganav and he stole half the money. O kuvyustus haya. Or he was a kidnapper. And he kidnapped half the people, and therefore only half the people gave him a chatzit ha-shekel. Oh, eino baki b'cheshbonot. Or maybe he just wasn't good at doing the accounting. Natan mechze, v'natal mechze. It's either he gave half to the Mishkan and took half for himself. O mechze shalem lo ichzir. Right? And a whole half of it he didn't give back to the Mishkan. So, Amarlo, what did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answer? Moshe Rabbeinu gizbar ne'eman haya. No, he was a totally honest treasurer. Ubaki b'cheshbonit haya. And he understood exactly the cheshbonot. Umaneh shel kodesh kaful haya. Until now, our account was based on the fact that a maneh was worth 25 shekels. Now, what does he claim? That the maneh in the Beit HaMikdash was worth double the amount. It was worth 50 shekels. And if you do that, then obviously what are you going to get to? Instead of 100 kikar plus these extra shkalim, you're going to end up with 200, okay? Or it's going to come close to, about 201. So then you're going to end up with 201 because you're going to say it was all valued, right? The exchange of it all makes it actually the 200 kikar is actually the same as 100 kikar. Okay, 100 kikar in our measurements is really 200 kikar. Sorry, 100 kikar of the Kodesh was really 200 kikar of the way we calculate it nowadays. So, havi ba Rav Achai. So now Rav Achai says, wait, there's something I don't understand. My kakashile, what was difficult to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that he had to say that the maneh of Kodesh was double? Look at the pasuk where it talked about me'at kikar. It said, v'hi me'at kikar kesef latzeket. So what do you see from here? Hanach latzeket. This was to do the, they were for the casting of the socket, the adanim. V'inach, in other words, the 100 kikar kesef that they talked about, that we said, what happened to the 200? It said there that was latzeket to do the casting of the adanim. V'inach be'gaza, but the rest was put in the otzar of the mishkan for future needs. So, what did they answer? Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answer this? Because there's another pasuk there, in pasuk kafe, where it says that we read before, v'kesef pekudei ha'edam ma'at kikar v'chule. So there it says, the amount that they collected was actually me'at kikar. Okay, as opposed to this other pasuk that we just quoted a second ago, which says that me'at kikar kesef was latzeket et adanim. Okay, so can't answer that because the other pasuk says actually all the money they collected was me'at kikar. So now they want to know, where did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai get this idea about a maneh of kodesh being kaful? Where did he get this from? If you want to say it's from this pasuk, sharei kan shivim ve'echab maneh, it said that the kesef that was left from the kikarot was 71 maneh, and it says, this is based on 100, what did we say? There were 1,775 shkalim left. If you divide that by 25, you end up with 71 mane. Okay, because what did we say, right? 25 mane, a shekels and a mane. So it's really 71 mane. Now, if you think about it, what's the best way to give to say money? Right? You wouldn't say how many pennies you had. You would say how many dollars you had. Right? So therefore, if they wouldn't count things in shkalim, if they could count them in manes. So now, what does it say, right? Instead of saying shivim v'echad maneh, it says ve'et ha'elef u'shva me'ot v'chamishim v'shivim. Sorry, v'chamisha v'shivim asav vavim la'amudim. V'lo mena'ana katuv ela b'frotrot. V'im ita, right? It said it in shkalim, as opposed to saying it in maneh. V'im ita, and if really the maneh was worth 25 shekels like we thought, me'a ve'echad kikar ve'echad esrei maneh me'ba'elei, it should have said 101 with 11 mane. But ela mizalomana ana katuv ela bifrotrot. But since it didn't say mea ve'echad ve'echadesre mane, therefore they say it must be that shmamina mane shel kodesh kaful haya. Now, why does it help us if it was kaful? Because if, okay, now this is, you have to understand their logic. If it was 71 mane, it should have said 71 maneh instead of 1,775 shkalim. But the assumption is that it was really, it was half the amount. If it was 71 maneh, and how much did we say? That a maneh, if you add, in the regular measurements, we said there's 60 maneh to a kikar. So now, right, they should have said, this is, sorry, I missed this before, what they should have said, right, they said mea maneh with 1,775 shkalim. But since 1,775 shkalim is 71 maneh, what did we say? 60 maneh make up a kikar. So therefore, we should have said it's 101 kikar, because it's 100 that we had before, plus this 1,775 shkalim equals 71 maneh, which really equals 60 maneh, plus another 11, which would make it 101 kikars with achat esrei maneh left over, right? So that would have been a better way to say it. The fact that they didn't say that shows that a maneh shel kodesh kaful haya. It was double. And therefore, in order to get to a kikar, you would need not 60 maneh, but you need 120 maneh. And therefore, the 71 maneh wouldn't make up a kikar anyway. And that's why they said them in shkalim and not in kikarot, right? And then in adding a in kikarot and maneh. So then they say, no, vidilma klale kachashe bikikare, prate lo kachashe bikikare. Maybe kikarot are only given in forms of hundreds. 100 maneh, 200 maneh, but you wouldn't say 101 maneh. I'm sorry, kikar. You wouldn't say 101 kikar. You don't count individual kikarot, and therefore, that's why they left it in shkalim, not because of this reason. So then they say, fine, we have another pasuk then, which would prove another way that we could say that maybe this would prove that the maneh shel kodesh was kafu. It's kind of the same, but a little bit different. Elamehacha, let's learn it from here. In that same parak in pasuk kavted, it says, unechosha tatnufa shivim kikar, again, what's shivim kikar? Shivim kikar is, right, that's, sorry, shivim kikar, v'alpayim v'arba me'ot shekel. Okay? 2,400 shekel. Sharei kan tish'im v'shisha maneh. This is already 96 maneh, right? And lo man'ana katuv ela b'frotrot, sh'ma'amina shel kodesh kaful haya. Again, what would you have said? Now here, what's the difference? It doesn't say mea kikar, it says shivim kikar. So already here we see that you don't only do it in hundreds. You could do it in at least tens, right? So 70, once it says 70, then we have again, tish'im v'shisha maneh. So the 2,400 shekels could have been counted as 96 maneh. So what would you have said? Shivim ve'echad kikar with another 26 maneh. But since they gave the whole number in shkalim, shmamina maneh shel kodesh kaful haya. Again, 96, if it's kaful, then 96 maneh doesn't make up a kikar at all. You'd need 120. And therefore, That's why that would be our proof that a Manesh HaKodesh was kaful. Right? Interesting. Manesh HaKodesh means kaful, that whenever we have a maneh that we measure in the mikdash, we're going to use double the amount to get to. It's going to be double rather than a maneh is double the amount. If we talk in terms of a maneh, it's double the amount. No, it's really, we should say that the kikar is really double the amount that it is outside the mikdash, right? That a kikar is worth 120 maneh instead of 60 maneh. So now they say, V'doma prate rabba kachashe b'kikare, prate zuta lo kachashe b'kikare. But again, you could say tens, but you don't have to say ones, right? Maybe they only count kikarot in ones, in tens, and not in ones. And therefore, that doesn't prove anything. So now we finally get to the real proof. How do we know that a shekel of Kodesh was kaful? We've actually seen this in, I can't remember if it was in the previous Masechet or maybe before that, if whether it was in Chulin or Zvachin. El Amar Rav Chista, Mehacha. We can learn it from here. Actually, I can look it up. It says it's from Pirza Menachot. Okay, Pirza Menachot here. So what does it say? There's a pasuk in Yecheskel which says Hashekel esrim gera, esrim shkalim, chamisha ve'esrim shkalim, asara v'chamisha shekel. Hamaneh yelachem. Okay, let's read the pasuk backwards. It's telling you that a maneh in the mikdash was esrim v'chamisha shekel, asara v'chamisha shekel, 15 shekels, and chamisha ve'esrim shkalim, 25 shekels, and esrim shkalim, 20 shekels. Okay, meaning, okay, why they give these, what it really means is a maneh is 60 shekels. This is where we get our measurement from. Then a maneh is 60 shekels. Now, why is it telling us in this very strange way? Because they weighed them. So they had weights that were 20, weights that were 25, and weights that were 15. And it's saying, take one of each of these three weights. And if you put them all together, that's what a maneh is. Okay, we haven't yet figured out how this connects. V'ha matan v'arba'in havyan. Okay, there's a bit of a problem here because if you add these all together, you get 60 shekels. Now, 60 shekels, okay, there's 4 dinarim to a shekel. Dinar is the same as a zuz, okay, 4 dinarim or 4 zuzim to a shekel. If you take these 60 shekels, what do you get to? 240 dinarim, okay? But it's known that what's a maneh? A maneh is 100 dinarim, okay? So we have a bit of a problem here because we say that the shekel, right, a shekel, 60 shekels to a maneh, and yet we have, that's 240 dinarim, but a maneh is only 100 dinarim. Elashmamina, what do we learn from here? Now, it's going to be weird. You might say kaful, but this is more than kaful, so we're going to have to resolve that too. But shmamina, we'll get to that in a minute. Maneh shel kodesh maneh kaful haya. Okay, then a manev kodesh was 200 dinarim and not 100 dinarim. Ushma mina, mosifin al hamidot. And we also, that they added to the midot, that instead of there being 25 shekel in a maneh, it was 30 shekels in a maneh. And then, so it was 30 shekels in a maneh, plus then we double the value of a maneh, that a maneh wasn't only worth 30 shekels, it was worth 60 shekels. And then 60 times 4 gets you to 240. Ve'ein mosifin yeter al shtot. Now we're going to learn something else, which is when they were mosif on the midot and they decided to add a little bit to the midot. In other words, the shekel of kodesh was, the maneh of kodesh was already double the amount, but they decided to add on also to all the midot. But how much can you add on? Ein mosifin yeter al shtot. The fact that they added and they upped it from 25 to 30 shows that you can only add an additional sixth. Now, how do we get to a sixth? Because if you say 25 to 30 is 5 more, then that's really a fifth, because a fifth of 25 is 5. And how do you mean, so how can you say more than a sixth? Ushmamina shtota milavar. The way we calculate, and this comes up many times in the Gemara, the way you calculate the sixth is from the outside, meaning that once you add it, you now get to 30. How much do we add to 30 from 25? We added 5. 5 is a sixth of 30. We add it from the total number once it's added. That's how we come up with the percentage. The sixth is from the outer number, not the lower number. Okay. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Sha'alti et Rabbi Eliezer, Beit Motava Rabba, the Beit Midrash HaGadol, Okay, I asked Rabbi Elazar this question in the Beit HaMidrash HaGadol. Manish tanu pitrei chamurim mi pitrei susim ugmalim. Okay, now we're getting onto a different issue, which is, why is it specifically peter chamur and not peter sus, peter gamal? Why don't we take the firstborn, right? When it comes to Behemoto, wrote, we take the firstborn of all of them. Why, when it comes to peter chamur, is it only a chamur? So Armali says, Zerata Katuvi, it comes from the Pasuk. Ve'od, and additionally, Shesi'u Yisrael b'shat yitziyatzam mimitzrayim. The donkeys helped the Jews when they got out of Egypt. She'ein lecha kol echa ve'echa mi'Yisrael shelo hayayimo tishim chamurim luvim te'unim mikaspa uzahava shel mitzrayim. Every single person that got out of Egypt, this is seems to be one of these clear exaggerations, but every single person that came out of Egypt had 90 donkeys that carried his kesef and zahav of Mitzrayim. Remember, they took the jewels from, they took the gold and the silver of the Egyptians, and therefore each of them must have had at least 90 donkeys that helped them carry out all their stuff, and therefore the donkeys helped us in Yitziat Mitzrayim, and that's why they have sanctity to them, or at least they have to be redeemed, right? We talked about they don't actually have sanctity, but they do need to be redeemed. Ve'od shaltiv, and additionally I asked him, here's another question, this is something on a different topic. My lashon rifidim. Okay, that was where the Jews camped, and then they complained that they didn't have water. Ve'amarli rifidim shma. So another question he asked Rabbi Elazar was, why is it called rifidim? And he says, simply because that's the name of the place, which basically means that he thinks there's no reason, there's no need to, we don't darshan the word rifidim. It's just simply that was its name. But we're going to point out that this is kitanai. There's a machloka tanaim about this. Rabbi Elazar omer rifidim shma. Rabbi Yeshua omer sherifu atzmam midirei Torah. They weaken themselves from limud Torah. In other words, they stop learning. Bechenu omer lohifnu avot el banav lohifnu avot el banim mirifyon yadaim. Okay, this is a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, which means basically that right, that the fathers won't even try to help save their sons, like it's describing a bad situation that's going to be. Rifyon yadayim means from weakness, so rifidim comes from that same lashon, means they weaken themselves, they were lazy, they didn't do mitzvot. And that's why this is also where they didn't have water, and then Amalek came, and all these bad things happened because of their going away from God. Ve'od shalti, even another question he asked him, my lashon shitim. In Bamidbar Cafe, when they went to Vayeshev Yisrael b'shitim, Vayachalam liznot el benot Moav, they started sleeping with these non-Jewish women. But Amarli, right, and that's when there was this big magefa, and 24,000 of them died. It was after Pinchas' story, the Cosby and Zimri. So Amarli shitim shma, that's just the name of the place. There's no reason to darshan it. And again, Kitanai, this is a machloka tanaim. Rabbi Elazar omer shitim shma. Rabbi Yeshua omer shenit asku b'divrei shtut. Rabbi Yeshua says they were involved with stupid, bad behavior, and that's why it happened. Shtut from shitim lashon shtut. Now we're going to bring another machloket about what happened here in shitim with the zonot. Batikrena la'am lezivchei Elohen. Okay, it sounds like the women called the people to worship their, you know, to bring sacrifices to their gods. So again, there's a machloka, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua about this. Rabbi Elazar omer, I'm not sure exactly what the difference between them is, but Rabbi Elazar says, Arumot pagubahen. Okay, vatikrena means they called to them, meaning they got naked and kind of seduced them. Pagubahem also means like they literally touched them, you know, they came in contact with them. For Rabbi Yeshua omer, Batikrena is not what the women did, it's what happened to the men, which is Milashon Baal Keri, Shanasu Kulam Baalei Karyan. Okay, that because of their bad thoughts about the women, so they became Baal Keri from the engaging in prostitution or from just maybe even thinking about the women. This is a man who Shechvat Zera comes out. So, you know, semen comes out of his body. So this is what, again, I don't know the difference, whether you say maybe it's in terms of who is more culpable, you know, was it because the women seduced them or was it they themselves kind of, you know, were maybe a little more active according to the second interpretation. Okay, that was a total diversion from our main topic. We're now going to get back in the Mishnah to Peter Chamor. Para she'alda kemin chamor. V'chamor she'alda kemin sus. Seen this before, where you have an animal that gives birth to a different type of animal, or it seems more like a different type of animal. P'tura min ha'bechora. Okay, there's no kedusha bechor. Shne'emar, peter chamor shnei pa'amim. Shmot Yugimel, it says, Shmot Yugimel, Pasuk Yugimel. V'chol peter chamor tifde b'seh. And then it says in Shmot Lamedalid, Pasuk Kaf, U'peter chamor tifde b'seh. There's a reference to Chag HaMatzot. And in the context of that, it says, it starts talking about Bechor again. And it says, U'peter chamor tifde b'seh. So why does it say it twice? Ad she'e hayoled chamor v'hanolad chamor. It has to be that both the mother and the offspring are donkeys. U'mahem ba'achila. Okay, and then obviously we learn from there to even behemah to'orah, that it all has to be the same mother, the same offspring. U'mahem ba'achila. What about eating them? Can you eat them? Are they considered kosher? Let's say a para gives birth to a sus. Since it came from a para, can we say we can eat the offspring if it looks like a sus? So, behemah to'orah she'alda kemin behemah tme'ah, mutar b'achila. U'tme'ah she'alda kemin behemah to'orah, asur b'achila. If a kosher animal gives birth to something that seems a type of a non-kosher animal, it's permitted to eat. And if a non-kosher animal gives birth to something that looks like a kosher animal, it's forbidden. Sha'yotzei min ha'tameh tameh, ha'yotzei min ha'tor tor. Basically goes by the mother. Tanan hatam. Now we're going to quote a Mishnah. The Gemara immediately quotes a Mishnah about something similar. This is a Mishnah that comes up on Tetzayin Amubet here in our Masechet. Rachel she'alda kemin ez, ve'ez she'alda kemin Rachel, p'tura min ha'bechora. So if a Rachel gives birth to an ez, right, a ewe gives birth to a goat, so it's p'tur min ha'bechora. But, and the reverse, v'im yeshbo, but if the vlad has miktsat simanim, chayav. Okay, if it looks somewhat like, it's kind of more similar to its mother, then it's chayav. So, menane mile, where did they get this from? Amar of Yehuda, Damar Kra, ach bechor shor, okay, you have to read the whole pasuk, it's b'mibar yuchet yudzayin, ach bechor shor, o bechor kesef, o bechor ez, then it says, kadosh heim, right there, sanctified to you. And then it says, Yamam tizrok al mizbeach. You're supposed to spill the blood on the mizbeach, right, because they're a bechor behema. They have to be sacrificed. Be'et chalam taktir. And you have to burn the fats. So how do they darshan this? What's obviously unnecessary in this pasuk? It says, bechor shor, o bechor kesef, o bechor ez. Why does it say bechor three times? So, ach bechor shor, sheyehe shor u bechoro shor. It has to be that the mother's ashore and the animal, the offspring, is ashore. Bechor kesef, sheyehu kesef, ubechoro kesef. Bechor ez, sheyehu u'ez, ubechoro ez. So that's what it repeats bechor three times. Yachol afilu yesh bo miktsat simanim. You might have thought, well then, if it's not an, let's say an ez gives birth to something that's not an ez, but it has miktsat simanim, it looks a little bit like its mother, then you might think it's also patur from Bechor. No. Talmud Lomar, ach. But it says, ach Bechor Shor, the word ach comes to teach you chilek, that there's a distinction. If it looks a little bit like its mother, then it's fine. But if it looks nothing like its mother, and it's a different offspring, you know, the offspring is a different, looks like a different type, then it's patur from Bechor. So now, they're going to question this what Rav Yehuda said, and say, why did you need to learn this from the Bechor Shor Pasuk? V'hatana, the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, Tana of our Mishnah said, Peter, Peter, kanasiv lala para. In other words, it already said in our Pasuk, Peter, Peter, and we learned that from the Peter Chamor being repeated twice, we learned it has to be like its offspring, and we learned it also in the Mishnah that it applies not only to a Chamor, but also to a para. So, what do we answer? Why didn't Rav Yehuda say this? Because who de Amar Rabbi Yossi Aglili? De Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Ach Bechor Shor. Ad Shehu Shor, U Bechor Shor. Bechor Kesev, Ad Shehu Kesev, U Bechor Kesev. obachor es, ad shehu es, obachoro es. So here we see that Rav Yehuda, who's an Amora, didn't hold like our Tana, because he had like a different Tana, who darshan it not from Petar Chamor being repeated twice, but from this pasuk about the Bechor. Yechol afilu yech bo miktzat simanim. Rabbi Yosef Glida continues exactly as what Rav Yehuda said. Talmud lamar ach chilek. So now the Gemara wants to know, b'may kamiflagay. Now we're kind of off of Rav Yehuda. Okay, Rav Yehuda must hold like Rabbi Yosef Glili. But now they want to know, b'may kamiflagay, what's the root of the machloka between Rabbi Yosef Glili and the author of our Mishnah? Tana didan savar gale rachmane b'kedushat tamim v'uadim b'kedushat aguf. The Torah says it specifically by the Peter Chamor, which is sanctified just in terms of its monetary value, but it's not actually, there's no inherent kedusha in the Bechor. And then from there, if we say already by Kedusha Damim, it has to be it only is Chal on something that's similar to it, then Huadim B'Kedusha Daguf, then all the more so, to say that something has Kedusha Daguf, it can only be if it really appears like its mother. The Rabbi Yossi Savar, now why did Rabbi Yossi say we're learning it from the Bechor Shor case, and the Bechor Kesev, and the Bechor Eis? Those are all cases of Kedusha Daguf. So he's going to say the exact reverse. Who savar? Rabbi Yossi savar, Gali Rachmana b'Kedusha Daguf, b'Huadim b'Kedusha Tamim, b'Gamar Kedusha Tamim b'Kedusha Daguf. Says the main halacha is really learned in the Kedusha Daguf case. That Kedusha Daguf, it's only going to be relevant for if it's Nidme. Once you learn it by Kedusha Daguf, then of course it's going to be true. And let's put it this way. If Kedusha Daguf is more chamor, now if Kedusha Daguf we're going to say it's pator and it doesn't have din b'chor, then obviously Kedusha Damim isn't going to have din of a b'chor. So it's kind of taking the same logic, right? Flipping the logic, we can go at it both ways. V'tana didan, now what's the problem? Our tan of our Mishnah, hai b'chor b'chor mayavale, what does he do with all the extra b'chors in that pasuk? So, mibayale, we're going to answer, mibayale chid Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina. He needs it for a drasha that Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina said. To Am Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, lama ne'emru imurim b'b'chor shor, v'imurim b'b'chor kesef, v'imurim b'b'chor eiz. Why did it have to say specifically that you have to burn the imurim in all these three cases? So they say it's tzricha. Why did you need to say that? Because remember, that was the context of that pasuk, that you have to burn the chelev, the fats, on the mizbeach. So why did they have to say you have to burn them in all three cases? So now we're going to have that each one has something unique about it that we couldn't have learned from one to the other. And then we're going to say not only does each one have something unique, but we couldn't have also learned take two of them and learn the third one from it. And we're going to go through all that. When it comes to Nisachim, okay, today's Pesach, we say this. This is how much oil you had to put in the mincha offering. And from there, they learn not only for the mincha, but also how much you have to put in the wine libations. So you need three esronim for a par, two esronim for an ayah, and yisaron lekeves. So what do you see? The shor is more chamor din because it has the most nisachim that you have to bring. The nisachim were brought with the korbanot, with every korban. On the chag, you would bring, or in certain, also other korbanot, you would bring, and all the korbanot olah and shlamim, you would bring nisachim along with it, both the mincha offering and the wine libation. Kesef, what about if we had it by kesef? Shekein yitrabe ba'alya, there's the tail of the kesef, only applies by the fat of the tail, you have to burn, which you don't have to burn on the other animals. So it has, again, a unique halacha. Be'ez, what if you had it just by ez, and we learned from there to all the others. Shekein et rabe etzel avodah kochavim biyachid. Okay, when it comes to a yachid that does worships of avodah zarah by accidentally, he has to bring a se'ir izim. Okay, so that's, if a normal chatat, you can bring a se'ir, or a se'ir izim, or you can bring a kispa. But the A's is the only thing that you can bring if you did an avodah kochavim, if you worshiped avodah zarah by accident. So here you see that also is a chamor din because this is specifically what's brought when you worship avodah zarah. So that's why I find chad mi'chad lo atya. So you can learn one from the other. Te chad mi'tarte, but maybe you could learn one from two. In other words, if you could take the two together and say, oh, well, obviously it's not that chumrah, caused it. It's not that chumra, so it must be a tzadah shaveh shaban, and from there you can learn the third. But even that, we can't. Behei lo lichtov. So which one wouldn't you write? Let's go through all of them. Lo lichtov rachmana b'shor v'teta b'hanach. So let's say we wouldn't say it by shor, but we could learn it from the other two. But you could say no, because malahanach sheken yitrabu etz apsachim. Both an ez and a kesef can be brought for a korban pesach, whereas a shor couldn't. So that means they have a certain chumrah that the shor doesn't have. Lo lichtov rachmana b'kesef v'teta b'hanach. So let's just try not to have the kesef pasuk, and we can learn from the other two. But malahanach sheken yitrabu etz alavadach kochavim b'tzibur. If you worship Avodah Zarah b'tzibur by accident, then, right, the whole tzibur worships Avodah Zarah accidentally, then you bring a par la'ola and a seir lizim l'chatat. So here you have both the par and the seir lizim that are brought for Avodah Zarah b'tzibur, whereas the kesev is excluded from that. Lo nichtav rachmana be'ez v'titi mehanach. But you could say again, malahanach sheken yesh behen tzad riboy etzel mizbech. Right, when we go back to the Nesachim, Shlosha Asronim Lapar, Ushne Asronim La'ayel, Visaron LaKevis, it has much less than all the other two, and therefore, if you didn't write Be'ez, you couldn't learn it, because those two have more, you'd have to bring more, Visaron LaKevis, the Kevis is like the A's, you'd end up bringing more Isronot for the more Nesachim for the others, and therefore, you need Hilkach Tzrichei. Okay, you need all of them. You couldn't have learned one from the other. And that's, again, where do we get to this? So what did our Tana do with that Pasuk, O B'chor Shor, O B'chor Kesef, O B'chor Ez? He did it to say that all those need a special, they all need to be specified that you burn the Emurim because you couldn't have learned one from the other. Okay? Now, there's a bit of a problem here because which we'll get to in a minute, which is, it still doesn't teach you why it still doesn't tell you why it said b'chor by all of them. That teaches you why it said shor, kesef, or ez, but not why it said b'chor, kesef, b'chor, ez. V'Rabbi Yossi Aglili, what would he say? He says very simply exactly what I just said, which is, in kein lichtov rachmana, lichtov kra, ach b'chor, shor, kesef, ez. B'chor, b'chor, lamali. Right, it could have just, if you were right about this, it would have just said it without repeating the word b'chor. Elalav shmamina adshei hushor o b'chor o shor. Therefore, it must be coming to teach what I said before, which is he has to be a shor and his b'chor is a shor. For Biyosi Aglili, hi petar chamor, petar chamor, my avilei. Now we have to figure out what does he do with the petar chamor that Aratani uses, the fact that it's repeated twice. Mibaile lechidetanya, he needs it for the following brayta. Biyosi Aglili Omer, Mitoch Shenemar Af Pado Tifte Et Bechor HaAdam Ve Et Bechor HaBema Atmea Tifte, Shome Ani Afilu Petre Susim Ugmalim. Right there it just says Bechor HaBema Atmea Tifte, which sounds like all the animals. Talmud Lamar Peter Chamor. That's why it says specifically, now we're talking about just the first reading, the first occurrence of the word Peter Chamor in Shemot Yugimel. Peter Chamor comes to teach not just any Bechor HaBema Atmea, but specifically the donkey. Petar chamor amarti lecha, v'lo petrei susim v'ugmalim. V'adayin ani omer, but still I would say, petrei chamor b'seh, petrei susim ugmalim b'chol davar. But maybe you could say, no, because it said b'chor b'emat me'ah, really you do need to do pidyon. When it said in Shemot specifically petar chamor, that was to tell you that a petar chamor you're podeh b'seh, but maybe a petar susu gamal you'd have to be redeeming with anything. It doesn't have to be specifically a seh, but it does need to be redeemed. Talmud lomar, peter chamor, shnei pa'amim. Petrei chamorim amarti lecha, velo petrei susim ugmalim. And that's what he does with the peter chamor pasuk. So again, we saw a machloka between our Mishnah and Rabbi Yossi Aglili about how we darshan that a bechor has to be like its mother, and if it's not, it's going to be patur. And then we explained how each one understood the other one's pasuk. Okay, that's it for today.